We're going to start, Lord willing, the 12th chapter of Hebrews this evening. And the Lord, just trust that He strengthens us. And as our sweet sister just prayed, that the Holy Spirit just make it real to our lives. I have a couple announcements here. 6:30 choir practice on Friday night. That's a 6:30 Friday night. Also, Saturday choir practice at 5 p.m. So 6:30 on Friday, Saturday at 5. The ladies' fellowship dinner will be, Lord willing, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, November 8th, 6 p.m. at the White Fence Farm. It's private room. The information is going to be down there on the landing. It says, please sign up on the landing. Bring your friends, guests, or loved ones. And all the information's on the sheet down there. So, again, we're going to begin the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And I think we'll just start, first of all, with the first two verses. We'll read through those and start getting at that. And what a wonderful two verses. If you could, well, again and again, you've heard me say it many times. You're going to say, well, how many are there? Well, there's many of them. But that just have everything for you. I mean, God, it can, you know, the God that can reveal Himself in nature can give us a verse that just is beyond. And I pray that the Lord just anoint this evening. 12th chapter, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And again, I would just hope that that would just thrill you enough to say, Lord, wake me up. Let me get something this evening. Let me come and sup with You, to have an offer to run the race. This will tie in, obviously, to where we've been in Philippians there, the 10th through the 14th verse, that You may know Him. That You may know Him, that I may know Him. And all of those wondrous things to know and to press for the mark of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Again, I hope that would be sobering to us to know what we are being offered this evening. What God has called you worthy to hear. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more important. People on TV may think that they have something. The people that have money and live in big houses may think they have something. But they're going to leave it all behind. And at the end of the road, it's going to be God. And He's allowing you to hear something and to receive something that you can meet Him with the finest of fine. That you can be ready to marry His Son. That thrills me. And I believe it thrills you as well, too. But you can see that this great cloud of witness that Paul's referring to here is what we just studied about in chapter 11. That's that wondrous hall of fame of faith. But the Lord encouraged me that by the grace of God, we even got more. We got the full Word of God. We didn't just get a Hebrew study or the Old Testament. We got all of it. But you know what? It didn't stop there. We got people in our life like Brother Copley. We got a witness like Brother Hill. Sister Wilson, Brother Fuller, I could go on and on. And there's even those that are living amongst us today. But I would not mention those because I believe the Lord would like to just keep that between Him and them in that way. But we know, in a sense, those that walk among us that have that calling, that high calling. What a great cloud of witness we have. And I would say to us all tonight, we are way without excuse. What do you think? We think we might be tired. We think we might be weary in some respects or can't go on. There's no excuse to us. Hebrews 10:36, we read that so many weeks back. Some of you might say, yeah, that was last year, but I'm just teasing you. But so precious there, and I'll just even read that verse. I was just going to mention it. But it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And that verse is right around the corner. I believe we see it. I believe we sense it. There's an urgency to come to the knowledge, the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, because by His grace, if we do the will of God, we're going to reap reward. And the will of God is so simple. I really believe it throughout the Word. But in that one verse where He says, I would have that all men to be saved and come to a full knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is a full knowledge? I believe it's everything. I believe it's fully going after Him. I think it's everything that's in this wonderful Word of God He wants for us. He wants us to rightfully divide that truth. He wants to live this Word in our lives. He wants us to be one with us, to go on with Him, to let it be our joy and our inspiration. And so inspiring are these saints because, as we learned on Sunday, by doing the will of God, we serve Him. And for most of us, I'm going to tell you, doing the will of God is sitting at the feet of Jesus. It should be for all of us, but you heard me say for most of us, because there's a lot that want to be serving like Martha. They want to be busy. They want to be seen. There's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, isn't there? I got wood, hay, and stubble in my backyard. If y'all need some, you can come get it, because that's what it's worth, isn't it? But you know those precious stones, there's just a few of them, aren't there? And I think if you all have some of those, you keep them in a safe place. Hopefully you don't just lay them out on the curb. But you keep them and you care for them. And they're rare. And that's what Christ is looking for. Hallelujah. So let's go. Let's go on here. It says to lay aside every weight. Notice there that it doesn't say some weight or a little bit of the weight. It says every weight. That it's all on the altar time. And that all on the altar time is right now. Turn with me to Philippians 3. And I believe Philippians 3 really gives us a wonderful picture of this weight and this sin that so easily besets us that we've just read or upsets us on the race course. And I really believe that when we get upset on the race course, we really can't point fingers. It's so-and-so or this person or whatever. The finger always points back here. I'm the only one that's going to keep me from running the race. I can blame. I can think it's somebody else. I can try to put it over on someone else, but it's always that buck really does stop with me, because God said that He would want me to fully know His Son, to fully finish that race, to fully run that race is what God has for me. But it does clearly define it, and it says, it will read here that the weight is truly, that we'll find out, is the flesh. That weight that so easily besets us is our flesh, and that sin is our lack of faith. Let's read Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. There's no confidence in that flesh. And oh, how subtle the devil is in getting us to think that we have a little bit of strength. Huh? That we have a little bit of merit. That we have a little bit of goodness to run. I would pray that we have learned by now and that we continue to learn that it truly is grace. It's grace. It is a pure, undeserved gift. It was just like tarrying here with Brother John. It was so sweet. The words that the Lord put on my lips to give to him. It's just grace. It's a gift. There's no way that you could ever merit this. You could earn this. But you know what? If you'll open your heart, you'll never stop Him from giving it to you. It's right there. And I saw so clearly that boldly we were in that throne of grace today. I see it right now that we're in that throne of grace. But so specifically in that prayer with Him, we were before the throne. And I saw all of the entrees that were right there. All of them. And if we would just go get them, cookies on the shelf for each one of us. And do we believe it? I pray we do. Hallelujah. But it is for each one of us. But that devil, again, is so subtle in getting us to think that we do have a little bit of strength. But it is grace that enables us to run. Because great grace, and I mean great grace, sees that our all sufficiency is in Christ. That's truly what it is. When we realize that it's nothing of ourselves, when we realize that there is no confidence that I would have in me, when I realize that there is no goodness that is within me, that anything within me even seeks God, it's truly Him that draws me to Him. And that's when I get to the place that I love Him so, again, for His love for me. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now this was Paul speaking here. This was a very, very intelligent man. Many honors were bestowed upon this person. As to keeping the law, he said, look, don't challenge me. If you're going to try to get the righteous card out, I was really righteous. But that's why he was the chief of sinners. Do you get it? Get rid of yourself. I hope you're not judging one another. Please don't do that. This is Philadelphia time. It's brotherly love. He's getting a group ready. And they're going to love one another. Because we're going to enter into a marriage with him. And you know what? That bride fellowships within the bride. Can you imagine that? I can't really. He just tells me. And I believe it. The only pictures that I really get are the pictures that he gives me right here. And let me tell you, that's enough. And I can't even fathom it anyways. But he's so wonderful to give that to us. Praise God. But Paul counts every worldly accomplishment, every worldly accolade, dung. Our righteousness is complete wickedness and defeat. Only the righteousness which is in Christ through faith sustains and enables us to know him. Like we talked about a couple Sundays ago. That I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Every day that's your power. You're raised with him. Do you realize that? Nothing can keep you down. It's not just positive and optimistic thinking. That's just a fact. You're the new creation. I'm the new creation. He dwells in me. Now I want to live power in my life. And all I have to do is let God. And it's going to be power. My life's going to be all powerful. I yield to the Holy Spirit, and man, you can't even believe the power that's going to be unleashed in your life. But at the same time, there's going to be a battle that's going to rage in your life as well, too. Brother John, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to fight things. If you thought you fought things before, there's going to be more battles in your life. Because that's just the way it is. He's counted us worthy to hear this word. He's counted us worthy to hear the call to a people for his name's sake. Can you imagine? You've heard the proposal. You think you're marked? I know you are. Can you get away from it? Those that have been in the meeting a long time, I hear a chuckle or two out there. They know you can't get away from it. You try to get away from it, you're going to be miserable. And it's not because God made you miserable. It's because you'll make yourself miserable. See, I want to live joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to live to the coming of the Lord and saying, Lord, could you come today? And someday he's going to come. And someday I'm not even going to believe that it's going to be that day. So I'm saying, Lord, I was believing you coming so long, and then here I am. I'm sure I'll be speechless for at least a couple jillion years. What do you think, huh? Just standing there in awe, bowing at his presence. Hallelujah. And I can just see him taking my hand and saying, oh, I love you. I appreciate you. I know he's going to say those things to me. Counted you faithful in a few things, brother, you think? Huh? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I think I got a couple cold cups of water. Praise God. But by his grace, we can get rid of it. We can get rid of every bit of ourselves. And when we arrive at getting rid of every bit of our confidence, that's when we can start running well. Because we run well when we run in his Spirit. That's Galatians 3. And that's the Spirit of grace. And that's where those ones that were given the Word of God and given it in great fullness, as the Apostle Paul gave it to them. He said, who has bewitched you? Who's troubles you? Ye did run well. See, they began in the Spirit, it said, but then they thought they were going to be made perfect by their flesh. How much more clear does the Word of God have to be? And that's the sad thing. I'm just going to tell you bluntly, flat out, with churches that are grace churches, so-called in a sense, and I appreciate they see grace to a certain degree. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think you've seen absolute all the grace there is, you need to get up here right now and pray. But it's grace upon grace upon grace. But the problem is that I see in most of those meetings, they'll get saved. They get filled with the Holy Spirit even. But then they think perfection is something that happens that we do. That we bring ourselves under subjection in a sense. And I believe that's true. We do need to humble ourselves before the Lord and bring myself to subjection of Him. But it's His work. And there's a big difference there. And it's so clear. Do you see that the flesh can make nothing perfect? Nothing. And one of the greatest tests I really believe in my life, I guess barometers, is the brotherly love. When I look at my brother, do I see a sin? Or do I have compassion? Do I love and continue to love? And again, want to cover and want to assist. That's when God is really working in your life. That's when I can be used of the Lord to help bring a mote out of a brother's eye. But it's in His hand. It's in His love. It's in His guiding that does that for us. Hallelujah. But the runner that runs well runs in grace. It's either faith or unbelief. And faith trusts God. Simple, isn't it? Faith trusts God. Anything else doesn't trust God. Whether it's faith in somebody or something else, whether it's faith in you or whether it's no faith at all, that's not faith. Faith trusts God. And there is only one faith, and that is in His Son. And always remember that. Hallelujah. And when we live by grace, hallelujah, with confidence in Him, and we run with patience, that's when we'll run well on that race course. But notice too, I appreciate this about our wonderful Lord, that race course, it's His course, isn't it? Did you notice that in what we read? It's His course. He set it up. And I get to thinking every time on something when I think about how perfect a life is. How God has brought me. How He had my mom to meet Brother Hill when she was just a baby. Where would I have been? Now, He could have found me anyway, but He called it that way. Can you imagine that? He saw my mom as a baby and said, you know, I love that lady. I love her mama. And I'll take him in. And that started that seed, at least that I would be sprung from, and that heritage of Jesus Christ. You think He prepares the way for you? And I'm sure each one of us can say how we've come to know Him. But see, he who willeth to know, you know one good thing about that? He shall know. That's why I don't get bent out of shape about people. I pray. Give them the Word of God. But you know what? If they will to know, they're going to know. And you know what? If they want to know His best, they're going to know. It doesn't matter where they are. Now, don't get arrogant in yourself and say, well, I can just stay home and I don't have to go fellowship and I don't have to go to church and I don't have to do all those things. Well, that's not living the love of God. When I love the Lord, I want to be around people of like faith, don't I? I want to fellowship with people that are running the same race course that I am, that have the same love that that God has put in my heart for Him. That makes me excited. It gets me excited to see people that love the Lord. It does. That truly see God's best. That, you know what, this world really isn't something that's got my affections. That I'm really not worrying about the next house that I'm going to get, the next car that I'm going to get, the next job that I'm going to get, all of those types of things. It's about when Jesus is going to get me. What do you think about that? That's what we're living to. That's a win-win all the time. That's glory right now. When I put all that stuff aside, and you've heard me say it, and I think you're going to hear me say it again and again, can't you tarry just a little while longer? And I love that time. I was sharing that with a sister today. I thought again how, Lord, I appreciate it. There's some days that are real long, aren't there? Oh, yeah, there are. There's some nights that, man, I'm sure that I spent a good 10 years in a couple nights. You know, my eyes wide open or my eyes full of tears, and is that night ever going to get over? But you know, I kind of look back every once in a while. That life's but a vapor, isn't it? It's so fast. It's almost here. I got to be halfway there now. Can you imagine that? And a lot of you have seen me, I won't say how old you are, but you saw me growing up in here. You saw me as a baby. You're ahead of me maybe even too, huh? But I want to meet Him in the air. But just like Brother Hill used to say, whether I go the highway or the subway, I'm still getting there. By the grace of God, I want that high place. Whether I'm a Smyrna saint, whether I'm a Philadelphia saint, hallelujah, I want to share in that glorious prize of winning His Son. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. But He sets it up, that every last detail. I think about how the children of Israel, they didn't just go through the Red Sea. That would have been enough, wouldn't it? But it's the dry ground that He put there for them. And He made the way for them. And the food was going to be there. The water was going to be there. But they just wouldn't wait on His time. He's going to test your faith. He wants to try you. He wants you to be, in a sense, in a barren place so that He can be your water and that He can be your food. You may not see things around, but you know it's there. You may not see blessing, but you know it's there. Do you know your blessing's there every day? I believe it is, because I know Jesus is here. And He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Hallelujah. See, that's heart washed. A lot of people, you walk around and they see and say, you're brainwashed. And I said, no, I'm just heart washed. And I said, if I'm living a fantasy, I've lived a far better and a far nicer life than you have anyways. Because I wouldn't want to be like you, because you're ignorant, arrogant, mean-spirited, and just kind of downright nasty. Never meet people like that? I have. I'm living joy. And I know it's real. How could you even look around and not know it's real? Every single thing of this Word has come to pass, or is coming to pass. Man can't help but do what God said He'd do. He's doing it faster and faster. It's accelerating all the time. That's another sermon. We'll get back to this. But we are His work. We are His work, and it's in Him. And if we'll rest in Him, hallelujah, we'll even be ready for that out resurrection. And by golly, that is truly the mark that the race goer is shooting towards. Hallelujah. That we press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And how sweet that run. And I really do mean this. The run is a patient run. It's not just for selected days in our life. Are you that kind of Christian? I don't want to be a selective runner. Well, it's fair weather. There's snow on the ground. I don't think I'll put my shoes on today and go out. Don't work that way. I don't feel like running today. This is a race of a lifetime. And you run. You do run. It's not a walk, but it's a patient run. Hallelujah. Let him just work that one on you. The trying of our faith works patience, and our patience is to be tried, that we may run well. And that trying is any obstacle that we need to overcome. And again, it's interesting in our lives. And I'm right there with you. Couldn't it be just a little smoother? Why do I have to go through this again? You don't feel that way? I think you're laughing because I think we're all right there, aren't we? See, Lord, I really do want Your best, but not today. I mean, I want it today, but not this today. But did you realize that today is part of His best today? Do you believe that? See, that's when we can rest in Him. That's when we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That He perfects that which concerns us. That He does everything right. That He wouldn't withhold anything good from us. And you know what that is? That's faith like a child. That was me, like I was telling you. Yep, son. My name's John Elway. I remember I was telling my wife that. Never mind. That's a bad story. She'll get in trouble with me. But what I meant is, it's not tricking them, but you know how kids are. They just really believe you. Well, God doesn't trick us, but you know what? He wants us to really believe Him, because He's always there for us, and He'll always perform for us, and it's such a sweet thing. But that is it, is we need those trials. We need to overcome to be an overcomer. And Christ is truly looking for a full overcomer. He's looking to be the author and finisher of our faith. And that's so important, that He is the author and finisher of our faith, that He is the goal, that He is the attraction. And again, we've been talking about that lately, even about Jesus' own life. There he waited to do those miracles. Then he started doing those miracles there at the wedding. And then he did some more. And then everybody wanted to see more and more and more of those miracles. Well, then the word wasn't becoming the attraction anymore. It was the event. Why do you go to church? Boy, have I talked to a lot of people about that over the years that have had problems coming to Living Waters Tabernacle. Well, I don't like such and such. I don't like the way this is working. I don't like the way that person treats me. I'm sorry. I would hope that we would love one another unconditionally. And we should. We should. And I mean that. People walking in this door, love on them. Don't get weird, but love on them. Open your arms to them. Let them know that they're welcome to fellowship. We want them to come with us and we'll do you good. You know? But it takes time. Sometimes I can't get the whole bridal message to somebody in 15 or 20 minutes. Can you imagine that has never heard it? Line up online. Okay? We've had time in here, haven't we? Isn't that sweet? It takes time. We need to be patient with one another. Okay? And that's what God's after, is that patient runner that's full of love, that gives out the truth in love, enduring. Hallelujah. But it's the Word, and that He needs to be the goal. He, again, needs to be the attraction. And where I was going with that is Christ stopped the miracles so that the Word would be the attraction. And what happened to most? They left. They didn't want to see it anymore. The hype wasn't there. Not that God or Christ was trying to hype things up. He was obviously in His great grace showing His ultimate power. How compassionate He was. But yet they had eyes. They saw Him, but they didn't want Him, did they? They had the ears to actually hear that Word speak. Could you imagine? To hear Jesus speak. Oh, I love that. And you know what? I hear Jesus speak every day. And He's speaking right now. Now, believe Him like that. This is the Word. And those disciples that even heard the Word aren't even hearing the words that we're hearing today. Do you realize that? Jesus is speaking in a more intimate way to you than He even did to His disciples. It's what the Word of God tells me. I'm not just telling you that to fluff you here. I'm telling you the truth. That's the Word of God. There's something more for us. There's something better at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But so perfectly He builds this and He works this in our life. It's the Word. The Word completes our faith. The Word that only builds faith for believing. And so perfectly this pattern over and over is sown in our lives. But in order for the pattern to be sown in our lives, we need to be still, don't we? We need to be still to endure the master weaver's chastening. He knows His work. Do you believe that? I believe God knows His work. I know He knows it very, very well. And she's got to come one way. And you know what she's going to be? She's going to be perfect. She is. She's going to be all pleasing. She's going to be in His image. She's going to be molded such that she exactly fits the wedding dress. I saw when I used the word perfect, everybody got a little nervous. Did you know that that's what it says in the Word of God? Now, do you think that you could be perfect? Do you think that you could ever get it done? I know I couldn't. And that's what makes me rest so well. Because I know it's His work. Do you see how simple this is? He told us that we could be perfect in Him. He wants us to be fully mature, perfected. I know I can't do that. I know me very, very well. If you don't know yourself that well, you should get to know you. Because you couldn't do it. Only He can. It's His, isn't it? See how it comes back? And that makes me rest. And I can be perfect in Him. I can be spotless. In Him. I am spotless right now. I am a son of God. But I'm talking about the perfection. That by the grace of God, He can give me the faith to be seated in the throne room. Hallelujah with Him. That's what He is after. Thank you, Jesus. The masterwork will ravish His heart. And that is the truth. And it's so comforting to know, and I really appreciate this about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He ran before us. He's the God of all comfort. He was tempted in every way. That we read that in Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in every way, like we were, beyond. Suffered in every way, beyond. Hebrews 2:18. And He's able to comfort us, to encourage us, to sustain us, all the way, even to being seated in the throne, if we'll only let Him. Do you believe it? Are you in a place that you don't think He can comfort you? You need faith. You do. He can comfort you at any time. Do you think that you're suffering something He doesn't know about? Get faith. Oh, get faith. Praise God, get faith. And He's faithful even when we've put the suffering on ourselves, if we'll just come before Him and say, Lord, I've sinned against You. Have pity on me. And you know what? He'll even work that for your good. Did you know that? All things. All things. If I give it to Him, He'll work it for my good. I've seen Him take ugly things and make them beautiful. Can He take a situation and give you a Solomon? What do you think about that? Those that know the Word of God. That was Bathsheba that gave Him that child. That was the lineage. Oh my. You mean if I really did mess up that bad, you think God would still want to do something with me? No. Don't go there. You never be too low. Never be too far that God can't touch your life. But you need to come to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned against You. Now take me on. Hallelujah. That's a big point. Big point. Lord, well, I think we'll talk a little bit about that on Sunday. But the joy that was set before Him, it says here in our text, might get through two verses, we'll see. But the joy that was set before Him, He endured. And that joy is you and me. Praise God, we've talked about that. And you know that inspires me? I hope it would inspire you, is His love towards you. That love is the love that inspires me to run the race course. Nothing else does. How He loves me. What He's given me. And His love to me is this Word and the promises that are in it. That He says, Son, run and I'll reward you. And if we'll only affix our eyes upon Him, it so eases the run. The pain is not so great when we truly see the glory that's set before us. What do you think of that? Amazing what happens when we get our eyes off ourselves. Amazing what happens when we get our eyes off our situation. I mean, if I start keep looking at myself, if I keep looking at appreciate Brother Bill, who's telling me to, you know, put that little thing in front of my eye and, you know, well, where's something here? You know, if I put this in front of my eye and, you know, this isn't that big from there, but if I put it here, man, this is about the biggest thing I'd ever see. That's a big problem. Oh, man, that's giant. I can't get around that. But you know, if I had old Bill holding that right there and maybe even back there by Kelly, I couldn't even see it. And see, that's where God wants it. He wants it with Him. My yoke, oh hallelujah. He wants us to give Him our burdens. His is light. He'll take that weight off of us. And that's what He wants for us. Hallelujah. Seeing the glory. See, we ride above camels. You know that story about Rebecca? We can really ride above them. We don't even smell like smoke, though we've been in the flame. Oh, I love that. Sometimes He even lets me get a little bit burned, though, too. Feeling it. But even in that, sometimes, I don't even smell like smoke. And by golly, if I keep my eyes upon Him, I even walk on water, don't I? It's true. I'll tell you what. It's the ones that are going to be in the midst of that throne are the ones that are walking on the water. They really are. And why did I say that? It's because their eyes are affixed on Jesus. It's Him. You're not going to get there any other way. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a miracle walk. That a guy like me could marry the I Am. that's greater than Peter walking on that water. I'm telling you. But I know He's drawing me there. Can you say that for your own self? He chose you, didn't He? Hallelujah. He did choose you. Now He wants you. And He's just saying, come on, I'll take you all the way. Just come and get it. He endured the cross looking at us. We can bear our cross by looking at Him. You think? Did you get that? See, that was the joy that was set before Him. He endured it, didn't He? You ever thought about the joy that's been set before you? If you can get your mind off yourself for a moment, the things that you want, the things that you desire, the things that you need in your life, or your problem that you'd like out of your life, and just get your eyes on Him, you know what? You can bear that cross. Yeah, you can, because it's His. Once you get your eyes on Him, it's His. And I love that about Jesus. He's just saying, you take of Me, son, I'm going to take you all the way. Praise God. He resisted unto blood and even death. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And there was nothing more shameful. God even turned His head away from Him. And we merely just tarry just a little while longer and to be set in the throne room with Him. Let's read verses 3 through 6. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think of Jesus. I'll tell you what, you got a problem, think of Jesus. During the day, I just like to think of Jesus anyway. It makes my day better. But ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. Now this continues the same thought and emphasizes that if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. You're a child of God tonight, you're an heir of God. Hallelujah. You'll never be more wealthy even if you're a Bill Gates kid, wife, or if you got it all. And they added every billionaire together and gave it to you. Just an heir of God, you couldn't even compare it. But He's offering you joint heirship tonight. He's offering it to you. You know it. Hallelujah. And I believe many of us tonight are living it. There's a difference. And you know that difference. You can see it, but don't just be a spectator. Enter in. I appreciated one of the sisters, and we've heard this before, but I appreciated somebody that hadn't been in the meeting very long. She said, you know, I see that wedding day with Christ. The Lord gave me a sweet vision of it. You know, there's the bride and there's the bridal party and there's the audience that's out there. I said, oh, man, that's great. That's wonderful. And I want to be right there standing up holding my Savior's hand. Never been a bride before. But I married one. And she was awful happy that day. And it was all about her. It really was. I was just in a black tux and she had this big old white dress. They took about 4 pictures of me and about 4,000 of her. I still go to my in-law's house. I'm trying to find a picture of me. Don't send this to my mother-in-law. I'm just teasing. I love her. I really do. And she loves me, and I know she does. I got a sister-in-law over here. Now you have Grace, baby. Okay. All right. I better stop. See, it's getting late. I'm going to chalk it up to getting tired. But that's where we're at. If we're getting a little bit tired, a little weary, the enemy, the opposition sometimes gets us down. We don't feel we can go another step sometimes, do we? Feel like kind of stuck. Think of Jesus. Consider Him. That's simple, but that incredible and amazing. Just a mere thought of Him. Doesn't it brighten your day? I mean, really, I'm not just saying that to say something. This isn't filler. Think of Jesus. Man, that's power. That name, Jesus. When it's really spoken in love, it moves, it cuts, it changes, it transforms. It gives peace, rest, joy, everything good. No matter where I'm at. I had a hard time in California. That's a heavy burden. It's a hard time because I thought the man was ready to receive something. I didn't realize I was ready to receive something. Patience. Lord, why am I here? I've got busy things to do. I can't believe you brought me out here and this is going on like this. Took me up there in that bedroom and read my Bible. That next morning, that lady that I told you really never had anything to do with the things of God, she started asking questions that morning, and 3.5 hours later, she said, I think I'll come to Denver and come see your church. You know, I'm sorry sometimes when I question you. I'm sorry sometimes when I don't believe that He does all things well and that He loves me. And that I'm the apple of His eye. I feel bad when I doubt Him. But I'm so thankful that He loves me and He never lets me go. And He's always there. Praise Him. But just that mere thought renews my strength. I think of Brother Hill when I say this. It puts on my hind feet. And I'm leaping in the way. I'm leaping. He was leaping, laying on that couch there just a couple of days before the Lord took him home. He was leaping. Stronger than he'd ever been. Oh, he was seeing glory like he'd never seen it. But yet that body that he was in was becoming nothing. Only God. Talking to Sweet John about athletes again, as he's saying, you know, gosh, it's just so great to be in the zone. And yes, I appreciate when you say about, you know, how athletes can be in the zone and you can be in the zone with God. And I said, but you know, the bad thing about athletes is it's just there sometimes just for a brief moment. A lot of Christians, they're in the zone for just a brief moment. He don't want you there like that. And athletes, as they get older, they don't even, not that they're even in the zone. They couldn't even see the zone. They're in another time zone than the zone. You know what I'm saying? But with God and that little body that was just going away, 95, 94 years old, who's in the zone more than he'd ever been in the zone in his life. Huh? That's the zone I want to be in. See? And it gets more focused. It gets brighter. It's better. It's the peach. You just keep feeding on it. He brings out another peach. It's even better than that peach. It's sweeter. And He wants us to come in and fellowship and feast with Him. Leaping in the way, and in just a moment ago I was in despair. Despise not the chastening. We need resistance. We've heard many different sermons before of the resistance that a athlete needs to build strength. But it also encourages us to get more nourishment at the same time to build our muscles. I had a lady that wanted to come by the church here that was a reporter. She said, well, we're trying to do a story on churches that have rec centers. And I said, well, that's interesting. She said, so you guys are really into physical fitness, aren't you? And I said, well, we like to think that we'd rather be spiritually fit. And she said, oh, that's great. I got to come see you. And I said, well, I'd like to talk to you and we'll pray about it. I need to get back with her because the things have been going so fast. But the Lord wants us to build spiritual muscles. And it truly is just like working out, building our bodies. I need to feed the body. The food that goes into an athlete is vital. I always told my wife, I really believe in keeping your weight down is about 90% of what you eat and about 10% of really your exercise. I said that for a long time. And I think they're actually even finding that out. You know? Spiritually, you need the Word. But you need the truth and love. You need the Spirit and truth to be the worshiper. It's the right kind of food. And it needs to be taken in the right kind of heart. Not just read here, but effectually worked in here. Just like praying with my brother. The Lord just so encouraged me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How much am I going to open up my heart and get that Word of God in my life and get that Holy Spirit and that love of God in my life? Things are going to jump out of my mouth you're never even going to believe. And hallelujah, that's when he has to give me that prayer language, because there's no, it doesn't matter what kind of words that we could ever think of that could never even adequately express it, could it? Huh? I appreciated my brother too. I've been talking about him a lot. He's going to say, "Ben, I'm not going to hang with you much." But I so appreciate it. He had this Bible and I loved his interpretation on it. You know, and he's Scottish. And he said, "You know, I don't have the King James." And I said, "Well, no wonder you don't. You're still harboring that bitterness, aren't you? You know, the English and the Scots. You gotta get a history there, I guess." So I thought that was pretty cute. Huh? See, Lord knows. But you just pray for John. He's got to get over that. But I thought that was pretty funny. We laughed for a while, didn't we, brother? But the result are spiritual muscles that specifically are designed to run and finish the greatest race of a lifetime. And that race is to win him. And it's all out of love. Don't think that God loves you when he presses you out of measure. He loves you. Do you know that? When he has you despair of your own life, he loves you. Now, sometimes I'm going to admit, I tell the Lord, "Lord, I appreciate how much you love me. Go love on somebody else for a while, huh?" I don't know why he puts up with me. I'll tell you. Yeah, give me a break, huh? But you know, it's short-lived. And by his grace, he continues to have my life call out to him. "Lord, I'll go. I will go." And that's what this is about. Really, if this meeting, if we really say in a lot of different things, what is this meeting really about? I think it's about "I will go." Fully go after the Lord. It's worth it. Where else would we go? Where else would we want to go? You know? But hallelujah that we have what we have. That we feast with what we have been given to feast upon. It is so worth it, so marvelous. And I trust him for it, and I trust how marvelous it's going to be. And kind of in closing tonight, I just think about, you know, you've heard that song, and I do like the melody. But I was visiting with a sister that "Only Imagine." That's a pretty song, don't get me wrong. But you couldn't imagine. You'll never imagine. And in a lot of ways, don't try to imagine. Because it says it's beyond my thought, to my heart, my imagination, or anything like that. What God has prepared for them that love him. And I just trust him every day to allow me to love him more. And the visions that he gives me are his visions. And when I see and read the unsearchable riches of his grace, my heart takes me to a place that I can't imagine. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? He's so good, isn't he? He makes me want to run. And I appreciate your attention tonight, because I believe that you want to run as well too. And it encourages me. And by the grace of God, he's given us abundant grace in this place, that we have people of like faith, that we want to run well. And we want to run together. And by the grace of God, we're going to read about that there's going to be times when we have feeble body parts, whether it's our knees or our arms that need to be lifted up. And that's when we're really spiritual, is when we can come to one another and say, "Brother, you know, I don't necessarily know what you're going through, and I see how hard it is, but I want to help you. I want to lift up your arms. I want to be an Aaron. I want to be Joshua. I want to be Caleb. I want to support my brothers and sisters out there and lift up those tired body parts and encourage one another in the things of God. That's what I want to do." Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again for your love. We appreciate your word. We just so appreciate again your love. And Lord, again, just your Holy Spirit, may it just be so impressed upon our heart that this is life. These are the words of life. This is our life. Lord God, help us not to miss your best. May we run and run well. In Jesus' name, amen.